When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Busy day, bombshell stories, huge games, very expensive chalupas, and who you got? All that and more on the menu. The hashtag crew is assembled. Let's go.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Well, the one place to start is you would not want to be in this room right now if you were a quarterback, because I got two guys right now that would terrify you, Rob Ninkovich and Bartholomew Bart Scott. Good enough to hang out and talk some football with me after we finish Get Up. One place to start, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We managed to just do 2 hours of TV and not even mention, Rob Ninkovich, your beloved hometown Chicago Bears, who will kick off the NFL weekend tonight against Washington. But Bart did make a pretty bold prediction earlier in this show about Washington's quarterback, who is now being, well, I don't know, tacitly called out by his own coach. Yeah, what is it you expect to see happen here?
I mean, I expect Carson Wentz maybe to struggle. And if he struggles, you know, you can hear it in Ron Rivera's voice. He's had enough. I mean, he was on a short leash, you know, coming from Indianapolis. This would be his third team in 3 years, and he's not inspiring. You know, you look at on the other side, you look at Justin Fields, and we thought this was going to be a horrible year. If they win tonight, they're 3-3. They're 500 in the middle of October, which is where you want to be. They're still playing meaningful games. If Washington drops to 1-5, I think you go to Tyler Heinicke, somebody that you know can inspire this team. He's like a Minshew Mania type of guy. He just kind of has a moxie about him, and I think you let him see what he can do, but you have to have, you know, some plans for your starting quarterback after the season.
So it could be the end of the road for Carson Wentz. Pretty much. I mean, he becomes one of those guys whose lot in life is to be a backup somewhere and wait and see if someone gets hurt. And very few players have had more opportunities given to them to prove they could do it than Carson Wentz has. And to this point, he's been unable to do it. As far as the Bears are concerned, just a quick moment on them before we dive into some of the other games, Nico. You know, whether they get to 3-3 tonight or not, I don't think anyone realistically thinks they're in the mix for playoffs and meaningful wins of that sort this year. What you want to see is the improvement and the development. And I will tell you, I watched the second half of that game last week in Minnesota, which the Bears absolutely had a chance to win. The ball literally got ripped out of the hands of one of their receivers, or they might have had a chance to win. I see it. I feel like I'm seeing that in the beginnings of that improvement in Justin Fields. It's starting to look like a little bit of a light is going on. What do you see?
Well, Greeny, I'm going to go into the super fans, okay? And I know everybody out there wants to hear what the Chicago Bears super fans have to say. The Bears are 2-3. Yes. Is there another number 2-3 that we talk about a lot in Chicago? One Sir Michael Jordan, okay? Yes. My cousin, we were all talking about the Bears, and of course, 2-3, not the best record, but guess what? You go 3-3 against the Commander. The Commanders, what are the Commanders? They're in a bad spot. I don't know what a Commander is. I tell you who the Commander-in-Chief is, that's one Mike Ditka, and he's still around, okay? The Bears, they're going to be fine. They're 2-3. They got a young, great quarterback who has upside potential we could talk about forever over a bratwurst or a beer. But anyway, let's talk about the Bears and where they're headed. They're headed potentially to 3-3 because the Commanders, I don't know what they are. They're going to be 1-5. I do know that because 2-3, Michael Jordan and the Bears, the Chicago area, we're all excited to see if Fields can get this team in the right direction.
That was infinitely better than the analysis that I was expecting.
Yeah, sorry. I just go off into this zone.
I will take it. That is Ninko with us here. Bart Scott is here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options and easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. So there's the two monster games on the schedule this weekend. It's the best weekend of the NFL season so far because of these two games. The one in Kansas City and then the one in Philly. Let's take them in the order in which they'll be played, which means we start in the AFC. Every member of our set today, Bart, including you, picked Buffalo to win this game on the road. Why?
I mean, this team is a complete team, offensively, defensively, in this young group of nucleus, whether you're bringing, talking about Ed Oliver, they've been playing together, right? And they've been building this thing. And I think the cherry on top or the finishing piece was for them to bring a finisher in, a veteran like Von Miller, who has won two Super Bowls with two different organizations. You know, he was the difference in what Aaron Donald did during the playoffs. He was able to be that voice to say, hey, Aaron Donald, you need to be more vocal, right? So he understands how to step and lead because he is a Hall of Famer, but he knows how to take a back seat to the, the leadership that's already there. You know, and it's just you have to suffer sometimes as a team to kind of know what it's all about, right, and know how to win these games. I feel they've been knocking on the door for the last couple of years, and they're ready to, I think, unseat Kansas City as the preempted favorite, right? Should be the favorite. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they should be always the favorite, much like Kansas City has been, because the emergence of Josh Allen as a potential MVP this season.
How important is this game? You made some interesting points earlier, Ninko. I love hearing this kind of insight because fans would have no other way of knowing it, that Kansas City having to go to Buffalo for the AFC Championship game, it's not just the fans that make it hard to win in Buffalo.
No, it's the stadium. It is a stadium in Buffalo, and Bart knows this. He played there a bunch. They have probably the worst visiting locker room in the NFL. And I say worst. Yeah. They have one toilet. They have
bad plumbing.
Four showers, basically shower heads. The other side doesn't work. The plumbing's terrible. You're showering with freezing ice cold water. There's no room to get taped.
Yeah.
There's no room for IVs. There's basically you're jammed into this small room. It's very, very uncomfortable. And on top of that, when you're in Buffalo, you stay at this hotel. I think everyone stays at the same hotel.
Yeah,
it's downtown. It's just not as nice as if you were home in your own stadium, you're sleeping in your own bed. So the Buffalo Bills understand to get to where they want to be, and that's deep into the playoffs to a Super Bowl, they have to win this matchup. This is a must-win game. And we've seen the Buffalo Bills week one and, again, other instances where we're saying, why is Josh Allen running so hard? Why is he trying to set the tone so much? Because they know how vital this season is to set the tone early, to show the league, listen, last year, flip the coin the other way, we win that game, and maybe we get to a Super Bowl. So we feel like we missed out. So now it's up to us to put it on our own backs, be in control of our own destiny. So winning the AFC, having the number one seed, going to Buffalo is a lot tougher than having to go to Arrowhead.
And I always thought, one of the keys to the success of the Patriots is they always won a division, but they always were the number one seed where they had that first round bye. They're able to scout their opponent, and we beat up on each other in the wild card just trying to make it there. By the time you get there, you guys are rested. You just got to win two games, and you're in the Super Bowl. And I think that's what Josh Allen has to do. He has to make sure that they have the right conditions. Hosting at home, you talk about Orchard Park. How, that's a really true college atmosphere. I mean, you got people and fans doing things that you don't see in the other fan base, catching them in mustard showers, jumping off the top rope. You know, they get crazy there. And even though it's not a big stadium, it's so loud because they're
close.
So passionate. They're so close to you. They're so passionate. So you talk about, what's the next step? The next step is for the Buffalo Bills to win the division so that they can host and everything goes through Orchard Park.
Greeny, and a reminder, you can watch our show now live in the ESPN app. Just open the app, hit watch on the bottom tab, and you'll be able to watch the show live. The other monster game, of course, is Sunday night in Philadelphia, and everyone on our set today, Ninko, including you, picked the Eagles. Why?
Well, you look at this team, they're confident. They have a really good offense. I think they're number four overall in defense, so they have a great defense. I think the Cowboys are probably getting a little bit more praise because of one guy, because of Parsons, because they do have a great pass rusher, which, granted, that's going to help you in certain instances, but I think top to bottom, the Eagles roster is a stronger roster. The Cowboys, of course, after 2 weeks, we thought that their whole season was over. Now they have a backup quarterback in. They've kind of gotten back to the basics, running the football, protecting the quarterback, playing good defense. But at the same time, the Eagles, they also see this game as a huge stepping stone for them to kind of put their mark on the division and also the NFC. We've talked about this all year, that it's not a very strong division. So they can put their name at the top of the list going 6-0, beating the Cowboys, putting themselves in position to win the division, and putting themselves atop of the NFC.
Well, we talk about everything that the Buffalo Bills did in the offseason was to make sure that they can beat Kansas City. Well, I think everything that the Eagles did was to make sure that they're able to win their division, because even though they went to the playoffs last year, it was the Dallas Cowboys division. Yeah. So going out and getting A.J. Brown, it's symbolizing. Like, listen, we have a quarterback that's a second-round draft pick that's under a rookie quarter contract. Let's go out and get as many weapons as we can before we have to pay him. And, oh, by the way, if this guy turns out to be a franchise quarterback, boom, we got a steal, yeah, and we have two first-round draft picks where we can replace a Kelsey, we can replace a pass rusher, or we can continue to build and stack, because we did the smart thing by stockpiling picks, but still also hitting on your draft picks and having guys take some, you know, team-friendly deals. But when you hit on a quarterback and you hit on him in the second round, much like when we looked at Seattle with Russell Wilson, not much when we look at, like, Dak Prescott, his first run before he got the deal, you're able to go out and get luxury pieces. You can get an A.J. Brown and still be able to give him a long-term deal. You can go get a Bradbury as an add-on piece to be opposite a big play Slay. So you look at what they've done as far as being able to draft, but also being able to have powder dry when they need to make some moves. I think the time is right and the time is now. And Jalen Hurts, I think, is, you know, this is so important for him and for his legacy, because he's almost like a stepchild so much, you know, right now. You know, we knew that the first two first-round draft picks are sitting there in case he doesn't work out, so they can have the ammunition to move up for a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young. But if he turns out to be the truth, man, what a luxury is it to have two first-round draft picks where you can drop back, because everybody's going to be clamoring up to go get somebody's pick. And New Orleans' pick is looking damn good right now, you know, so to speak. So the rich just get richer because of the moves that they made in planning for the present and the future.
That's the additional one that they have. You know, there are so many podcasts available right now. It takes a team of people to bring all those together. And so whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your own growing business, one place makes that easy, and that's ZipRecruiter. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. One last thing. On the show this morning, there was a split. Two of the four people that I had up there picked the Jets to beat the Packers at Lambeau. Two picked the Packers. Here's the question I have. Are the Jets getting the Packers? Everyone knows what I want to see happen. Are they getting them at the perfect time or at the worst possible time? I can't make up my mind. There's an argument to be made it's the worst possible time. The Packers just took a bad loss that everybody saw. They're licking their wounds. The world is counting them out. That's a dangerous time to play, particularly a great player like Rodgers. The other side of it is they're struggling. They're not playing well, and they're coming back from London without a bye. In my experience, didn't it used to be that, like, after the London game,
always
you would get a bye?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not the same as any other road trip. So, you know, Bart, are the Jets getting the Packers at the worst time or at the best time?
I mean, I'm going to go glass half full, right? They're getting them at the right time. I think they've learned their lesson as well, how to handle success. Right now they're getting pat on the back. They were getting kicked in the butt when we were talking about receipts early in the season. And then I think the win in Cleveland, you talk about a team that's scoring more points in the fourth quarter. I think the Jets leads the league in that category because they don't quit. And I think that's a lesson they learned from Cleveland. But a lesson they also learned from Cleveland is the next week doesn't guarantee that it's going to be the same result when they got embarrassed by the Bengals. So I think them coming off and having back-to-back wins, they're starting to get their identity. Dwayne Brown was a breath of fresh air. The fact that the run game picked up because he's a veteran, and they're starting to get complete, and they're starting to believe, and belief is a powerful thing. And I think, you know, the fact that last year Zach Wilson, they played in Lambeau, they practiced there for a week. And so I feel like he'll be comfortable and won't be the first time that he's been at Lambeau, and it could be an advantage for him.
And when I asked you about it this morning in our meeting, Ninko, you said there's an advantage sometimes of just being as young as these guys are.
Yeah, when you don't have like the pressure of what Aaron Rodgers has on him to get this team back to a playoff, deep playoff run at Super Bowl, the Jets are just like, okay, yeah, we got a bunch of young kids here. We're super talented. We got our starting quarterback back from an injury. We looked pretty good last week against the Steelers. Let's go out here against a wounded team that doesn't really have an identity, and let's put up some points. Let's have fun. Let's fly around. This is just like we did when we were younger. Like, oh, we're just having a great time because we're really talented. When you're young, sometimes you don't stress about stuff because you're just relying off your God-given talent. Yeah, you don't know. So you're just like, yeah, I'm feeling good today. I'm young. I'm fast. I can make plays. Yeah. I'm trying to get paid. And it looks like a team that they're trending in the right direction. And I think this is a great time for the Jets because if they can go 4-2 in the rest of their schedule ahead of them, they can build some momentum. They could surprise a lot of teams. Yeah.
You heard Bryce Young say as much, right? He's like, man, like we got together, me, Garrett Wilson, you know, we trained in the offseason at Sauce Gardner. We was like, man, we're really good.
Yeah.
Right? So they're just scratching the surface, but I think they own the, hey, and they have the confidence that, hey, I can compete in this league. Because you don't know if you're going to be able to transition and what the transition is. And the transition has been smooth for Sauce Gardner. It's been smooth for Garrett Wilson. And listen, let's not talk about Vera Tucker and all the other young players. You know, I think the last 2 years, you know, the Jets have done a great job in getting fundamental, foundational pieces, you know, that they can build upon. And the young veterans are starting to come along. DJ Reed in free agency has been a godsend as well.
All right, I got to run. Guys, you're the best. Thank you, Bart. We'll hear you here live coast to coast. A little less than 2 hours. Nico, you are the man. Good fun being had on TV with us this morning. In the meantime, coming up next, a bombshell story from ESPN this morning that could have enormous ramifications across the entire NFL. You'll hear it right after this on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. So before I get to the defense of Hembo, and the assembled members of the hashtag crew are all here. Hembo is here. Bubba is with us. Nuno is with us as always. I just want to make sure everyone is aware of the story that went up on ESPN.com this morning from Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Tisha Thompson. I had Seth on Get Up today. It is about Dan Snyder, the owner of the Commanders. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on it because it is really the kind of thing that you have to read. I had Seth on Get Up this morning, and I don't know that it is something that in the talking about it really does justice just how explosive the reporting is. But according to interviews with more than 30 owners and NFL league and team executives and others, a new report says that multiple owners and league and team sources say they've been told that Dan Snyder has instructed his law firms to hire private investigators to look into other owners and to look into NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Sources say the league is aware that Snyder claims to be tracking the owners. He recently told a close associate, Snyder did, that he has gathered enough secrets to, quote, blow up several owners and the league office, and even Goodell saying, quote, they can't F with me. He has privately said that. He told an associate the NFL is a mafia. The owners hate each other. One veteran owner told ESPN that's not true. All the owners hate Dan. One owner was told by Snyder directly that he has dirt on Jerry Jones. While Jones historically has been one of Snyder's closest allies, he recently told confidants he might not be able to protect Snyder any longer. Again, this is one of those that you really have to read it to get a full sense of just how explosive it is. But essentially, for such a long time now, there have been so many controversies swirling around Dan Snyder and his ownership of the team that is now known as the Washington Commanders. And I've had so many people say to me, how does that guy stay there? How in the world can't they get him out? That's what the reporters were asking themselves as they went in search of answers. And these are the answers that they came back with. So to me, this is an absolutely fascinating story. And it is one, again, I don't really know, Nuno, I don't know that there's really much comment for me to make on it. Snyder and the team has denied the report, has denied the allegations in the report, which is important to point out for the purposes of fairness. But it is an explosive story, and it remains to be seen where it goes. Nuno, is there anything I'm missing here? Is there anything further I should say before we get to some fun?
No, I would just say that everyone should go ahead and read it because it is a fascinating and interesting story.
It is. It really is. It's one that if you are interested in the way the behind the scenes, let's put it this way. If all this stuff is 100% accurate, it's incredible. I mean, it is just an incredible story that here is a billionaire basically saying they can't take me down because I've got the goods on all of them. That's in essence, that's what the story is. So it really is remarkable. All right, Greeny with you here. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Meanwhile.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
Just bring him in. Bring Todd in. All right, so we've got Todd Frazier in here because I'm hoping that he might be the one person who will offer a defense of my main man, Hembo. So, Todd, I want to make sure you can hear. Todd Frazier, who is, of course, a longtime Major League Baseball player and has now been doing analysis for us the last couple of days on Get Up. Set up in front of that. Get that microphone right in front of your face there, Todd, and make sure you can hear me. How is everything going?
Everything's good, man.
Okay.
I'm having a blast.
So, we are delighted to have you. So, yesterday, and I know that he has discussed this with you, Hembo gave a take that the Yankee fans should want to play the Astros in the next round because of the history between the two, because of the cheating, which has been documented that the Astros did to knock them off a few years ago, despite the fact that he himself acknowledges that the Yankees would have a much better chance of beating Seattle than they would have beating Houston. Now, this applies to any sports fan anywhere. If you're a fan, and in the case of Todd, you're a player, just imagine putting yourself in these shoes. Hembo, give me the numbers. What were you estimating the chances of the Yankees beating the Astros in a 7-game series without a home field advantage to be?
Something like 40%.
40%. What are you estimating the Yankees' chances of beating the Mariners in a 7-game series with home field advantage?
Something like 60%.
Something like 60%. So something that you think is likely, you're choosing the opposite over that because you still hold this grudge and want to defeat the opposition. So Hembo made this point yesterday. I'm going to play you little bits of response that came from ESPN Radio New York, where, of course, it's a Yankee-centric, even though most of the people talking are not Yankee fans, you're just going to get a taste, Todd, of the way people reacted to this.
Hembo, who's a trolley troll, by the way.
It's such a stupid take. It's the worst take in the history of takes.
It's actually worse when I hear it.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but you can't. But here's the problem with the take, though. You just got done telling everybody that you think there's a 40% chance to beat Houston as opposed to a 60% chance to beat Seattle.
So you know what he's saying? He's saying I didn't even know
he's okay with losing.
Fan.
What he's saying is he's okay with losing.
Right. Is that he would risk a better chance of losing for the chance to beat Houston, which to me, and listen, I'm crazy. I was never an athlete. All these things, fine. I'm a fan. As a fan, it is one of the dumber takes you could possibly hear.
So they just—that's Dave Rothenberg and Rick DiPietro. The guys from Michael Kay Show went off on him as well yesterday. Maybe not quite as bitingly,
Jesus,
as bitterly. So Todd,
you must have did something to them.
Let's talk about it from a player's perspective. You were on the Yankees. You were on that team that lost to Houston in the ALCS in 2017. We showed it earlier today on TV. You had a big home run to win a game in that series.
Yes. Yes.
Do if you're a player on this team, do you want your crack at Houston or do you want what would seem to be the easier matchup in Seattle?
Listen, I was talking about it earlier. As we said, I was a part of that whole thing.
Right.
And there's nothing more than I want is to play the Houston Astros and finally beat them as a player. As a player. And I think the judges of the world and the guys that have been there and have played against the Astros and understand beating them would silence everybody. But if they don't make it there, okay, then that's Houston's fault. You can't say, oh, well, you didn't beat Houston, you won a World Series, blah, blah, blah. As a fan, I want Seattle at the end of the day. If I'm a fan, I want Seattle because that's the easier road. But as a player inside, I think I'd want to take Houston on, or as a player inside, I want to take Houston on and finally take them off the mountain.
So, Hembo, do you feel buoyed in any way by Todd Frazier's validation?
Absolutely. 100%. And this was a man on
Why
that
Why do you
team.
Have a garbage can on the table?
Just as a visual reminder of what the Houston Astros did in the 2017 ALCS in order to beat the New York Yankees, right. I just want to have this here as a prop.
Bang it a little bit so people can hear it.
That's a curveball. That's a fastball. Change up.
Right.
That's what those guys did. It was ridiculous. It was egregious. But I actually think, because I was texting all my buddies about this yesterday from Philly, and they all agreed with me, this actually might be a Philly thing. Like, I root for teams and against teams with hatred and venom. And I think, in some sense, if I were a Yankee fan, I'd hate the Astros so much that the prospects of at least having the chance to beat them and knock them down, that's worth it. Like, that shot would be so satisfying that I can take the trade-off of having a better chance to beat the Mariners. Absolutely.
But also, as a Yankee fan, I got to defend them for one thing. Nothing Please. Against you. Mm. I think they're sick of playing them and losing all the time, if you want the truth. So as a fan, like I said, let's bring Seattle in. Let's get the easier opponent, if I'm a fan, as I am right now, of course. But as a player, deep down inside, I want the Astros.
I want to go there. You're being very nice because you like Hembo, and everyone likes Hembo.
Yes.
But this take is psychotic. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And the only way I can think, I have almost no athletic. What pitch was that?
That was a curveball.
Yeah, keep hitting it. I like that.
I wish I would have known that a couple years ago.
Could you hear it, by the way?
Thinking back, I was playing third. I had a direct view of the tunnel. And thinking I would, not playing baseball. If I'm playing baseball, I should see everything, right? But never came to my mind, never heard it. And, that's how they go. I mean, why would you be thinking, oh, man, let me hear a garbage can? Why would you be thinking that? And, I wish I was really cognizant about where everybody, because I usually am, being from this area. You got to have your eyes everywhere. So
sure.
I kind of blame myself a little bit.
Okay, so anyway, putting that aside. So the point of the matter here is that the most important thing is winning. That, as a fan, that should be the most important thing. But Hembo, what you're telling me, and you think that this is maybe a Philly thing, is that it is actually more satisfying to you to see your enemy lose than it even is to see yourself win. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. This is Oppo research. This is exactly what, to me, there is, you're maximizing your satisfaction if you beat the Astros. I want that more than anything. I want to bring this into the stadium, and I want to pound that thing for 9 innings. And if my team just so happens to lose, I can stomach it. But the opportunity to see them win, look, this is the biggest rivalry in baseball right now. I hate the Astros more than I hate the Red Sox by a long shot. And for the first time maybe ever, the evil empire will be Houston. We'll have the country on my side, too. I want all of that. I want that chance more than anything in the world.
Agrini, Hembo, and Todd Frazier in our studio. Again, Agrini Nation, Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. So here's the thing. Todd, what football team do you root for?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, that's right. You told me that. You loved Mike Alstott when you were going.
Okay,
so that's ridiculous. You're a Jersey guy who likes the Buccaneers.
That's not ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. No. but so I'm a Jet fan, right? This is well documented.
Okay.
When the people perceive you, if you're a Jet fan, to hate the Giants. I've never hated the Giants because I grew up, and they continue to play in different conferences. I never considered the Giants a rival. I never cared about them really one way or the other. When the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, now I've never had the opportunity to see my team in the Super Bowl. The only time they were in it, I was 1 year old. But when they beat, particularly that year that New England was going for the perfect season, when the Patriots were 18-0, and that's my arch rival.
Yes, of course.
When Plaxico Burress caught that touchdown, when first they get the helmet catch and then Plaxico catches that touchdown, I was sitting by myself in a hotel in Bristol because I was getting set to come in early the next morning. I jumped out of the bed and danced around the room celebrating
in a way that I can't remember ever celebrating the result of a football game before. Now, my team has never won. Yeah. So if you ask me, would you rather have the Jets win than have seen that? Yes, of course I'd rather have that. But the one thing I will give Hembo is seeing them lose, seeing the Patriots lose that game, especially being where I was in Northern Connecticut, knowing that all the Patriot fans I was going to get to see at work the following day, that was very satisfying.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's satisfying, but only for a minute. Like, that's still not your team winning.
Right, that's right.
And I that's the problem I have with it. It's still not my team. It's exciting, you know, to see, you know, the Patriots, the big dogs, you know, Tom Brady lose. But again, it's not your team
that's
doing
correct.
It. So I'm a fan of the team I root for. And, you know, if they beat the arch rival, great. But I'm not going to be jumping up and down, in my opinion. I'm not going to do it.
So, in all, you're willing to defend Hembo, but in a very limited way.
Limited. About this much.
A tiny little bit.
A tiny bit. Because it's just only, if I didn't play, it'd be a different story.
I think it's a Philly thing. I honestly think it might be a Philly thing. I'm that hateful. I'm that vengeful.
Okay, fair enough. Again, I mean, they were just everywhere I went yesterday. Hey, what pitch was
fastball
that?
Fastball down and away.
If you don't like it, play better. That's how I'll leave it at that. Let's go.
There you go. Well done. Todd, it's been such a pleasure having you here. We'll keep doing this. Again, you see Todd Frazier with us on Get Up as we go forward through the baseball playoffs. Coming up next, one guy's about to play by far the biggest game of his life.
Greeny, the podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I like this day in a lot of ways, and I'm finding out why as we roll along. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. I notice we're listening to nothing but Paul Simon music today, and I just found out from my friend Bubba, and we will have this in Who You Got a little bit later today, that today is Mr. Simon's birthday. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Paul Simon is 81.
Oh, yeah.
That's remarkable. I did not realize. Would you have known? Forget about Hembo. He's busy making up ridiculous baseball takes. But for those of us who know anything about the pop culture of the last half century, would you have guessed that Paul Simon, Bubba, was older than Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger? Like Mick Jagger just turned 79. McCartney just turned 80. And Paul Simon is 81. I don't think I would have realized that Paul Simon was older.
I would have thought, yeah, maybe late 70s or something, yeah.
I just would have taken him as one, because he was influenced so much by the Beatles,
right,
that he would have been younger.
Somehow younger, yeah, exactly.
He was actually older than them.
That's crazy.
81, he's the best. You will not find a bigger fan of Paul Simon in the world than me. We'll talk about him a little bit later. In the meantime, as we continue to pile on Hembo for his terrible takes, he is also very fired up this week because, as we mentioned, the Eagles and how much the Philly fans live with all of their hatred of their rivals. You get your arch rival into your house on Sunday night in one of the two real monster games on the schedule this weekend, Buffalo at Kansas City in the late afternoon window, and then Cowboys at Eagles Sunday night. I mean, I think you would be willing to bet every cent you had that'll be the highest, the most watched football game of the entire NFL season. And so, Bubba, let me come to you from the Cowboys side of it, because it does look like Cooper Rush is going to play that game. With that in mind, and the fact that you've gone 4-0 at this point, and more than kept the ship afloat, do you feel like the Cowboys go into this game playing with house money?
Probably. Yeah, I think. Yeah, which is why I think it's better for us to not have Dak play, because I think if Dak comes back, it just adds all this unnecessary pressure. Where if with Cooper playing, I think it is with house money there, because if he wins, it's just unbelievable. But if he loses, okay, well, he went 4-1 as the starter, and we get Dak coming back. So, yeah, I think we're in a great position no matter what happens here.
Yeah, I do too. I think all the pressure in the world is on the Eagles in this game. And, in fact, and Hembo, I'll turn to you, I think this is the biggest game of Jalen Hurts' career. Now, I have to think back. I mean, he started national championship games in college. So I guess it's hard to say that this is bigger than that. He also started a playoff game last year, but one that absolutely no one gave them a chance to win in Tampa against Brady. But he played the biggest of big college football games. So I don't think the atmosphere will be too big for him. I don't think any of that is the problem. But for anyone for whom there are still any questions about Jalen Hurts, this is the week that he can answer them forever. I think if Jalen Hurts plays big against this defense, against Micah Parsons and everything else, then Jalen Hurts solidifies whatever remains to be solidified that he is the quarterback of this team going forward, no ifs, ands, or buts. If he does not, if this Cowboy defense really gives him a hard time, if he has his first real bad day of the season, I think there will be a lot of people asking the question, hey, is what we have seen so far for real? I think this is a big night for him.
This is the biggest start of Jalen Hurts' NFL career, for sure, and that includes the playoff game last year, for sure. For starters, it's because you're playing your most hated rival. You're doing so at home against the backup quarterback. The expectation is you win. You're a six-point favorite. But I would also say this about Jalen Hurts. This is a young man that needs to buckle his chin strap, because the Cowboys hit the quarterback more than any team in the NFL. And Jalen Hurts, in part because of his style of play, takes more hits than any quarterback in the NFL.
More than any quarterback? More than Lamar Jackson? More than Josh Allen?
More than any quarterback through five games since ESPN began tracking quarterback hits in 2005. Ooh. This is a quarterback that puts himself in harm's way, sometimes willingly and sometimes just because of his style of play. Look, he's a big guy. He can out-squat defensive linemen. He is not Kyler Murray. He is not, you know, a small, shifty guy. And Jalen Hurts plays that way. But Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and those big people on the Dallas front are different than anyone else he has seen this year. And as a reminder, Jalen Hurts did not beat a single team last year that made the playoffs, despite the Eagles doing so. So that narrative will absolutely ride out if he plays badly against Dallas.
Greeny, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. You told me earlier this week you think the bet here is the Eagles to run the ball like crazy.
And that's right. And I think they're going to run the ball like crazy at Micah Parsons. Here's a good number to demonstrate that. Right now, Micah Parsons is the best pass rusher in the NFL. He ranks first in win rate. But among 195 qualified players, he ranks 182nd in run stop. Those numbers are black and white. They're cut and dry. The Eagles can absolutely run the ball against a Dallas front that majors in the pass rush. That likes to pin their ears back. But the Eagles are, look, the fastest way for the Eagles to get up and down the field is just to forget that the perimeter of the thing exists.
That's what makes this so interesting to me, because this Cowboy team, and anyone who watches Get Up, you know I've kind of adopted them, and a lot of that started mostly for fun. But I am fascinated by them. They're built like a team that wants to play from in front. They're built like the old Peyton Manning teams used to be and stuff like that. Peyton Manning, that's why the old Colts teams, they just got the edge rushers. Their aim in life was to go ahead. And Peyton would put them ahead early, and then boom, we're just going to go after it. Our defense is small and fast, and we're going to rush the passer. This Cowboy team isn't built like that offensively. They're built to be playing 17-13 games. So you can't just pin your ears back. To me, these two games this weekend are as good as we will get the entire NFL season. We continue in a moment. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.